Fairly or unfairly, US architect Walter Burley Griffin is probably best remembered in Australia for his role in the design of Canberra, so you might not be aware of some of his other work, but he was a man intensely interested in how we build our cities and the places where we live. It's an interest visible in his many residential projects, including the ambitious Castle Crag Estate. It's on Sydney's Middle Harbour, and with Castle Crag, Burley Griffin was aiming to build the perfect suburb. Blueprints Maria Tickle headed to Castle Crag Estate, 8 kilometres north of the Sydney CBD, to see Burley Griffin's vision firsthand.
I'm with Andrew Kirk, former president of the Walter Burley Griffin Society. Andrew, we're here at the village at Castle Crag. Tell me a little bit about the bust that we're standing in front of.
This is a bronze bust of Walter Burley Griffin. He's got his architect's tie on, a little black bow tie, and he's looking very, very serious because it was probably modelled when he was in the early part of the 1930s and things weren't going so well in Canberra.
Yeah, he doesn't just look serious, he actually looks quite concerned.
He does look very concerned, and well, he might have. The Depression had hit. And we're standing in the middle of what he described as his ideal suburb. And a bit like Canberra, things started to go a bit wrong fairly early in the exercise.
What was the first thing that went wrong with this perfect suburb that he was trying to create?
He actually, almost inadvertently, bought 3 beautiful peninsulas in Sydney Harbour. But the property company that he developed in Melbourne didn't have enough capital to develop them all, so it boiled down to a segment of Castle Crag, which is the most southern of the 3, and it's about a third of the peninsula suburb given over to what's called the Castle Crag Estate. So this is a highly protected area within the municipality of Willoughby, and what I'm going to be talking to you about as we go around here is some of the buildings. But what went wrong was that he didn't get the sort of clientele that he'd hoped for. So lots of things went wrong, along with the fact that he was a slightly more difficult person than he ought to have been.
Let's go have a look.
Now, we've stopped in an area which is next to the major shopping centre in Castle Crag, which is not very big, but you can see that the roads here all follow the contours of the land. And he left at the intersections of the road small islands. You can see one over here, which have been regenerated, so they're natural bush outcrops. On top of that, the roads were very, very narrow. The idea was that the citizens of Castle Crag would walk along behind the houses, so that there are pathways and reserves which are only accessible by foot. And what's more, he devoted about, I think it's 7 kilometres of the harbour front as parkland. So whereas the rest of the area around is very, very urban, this can feel like living in the bush, as you will see when you come to the Fishwick House.
Let's go.
There you go. Okay. We're on Edinburgh Road, which is the main spine road of the peninsula, and the first house we see is imaginatively called the GSDA No. 1. It stands for Greater Sydney Development Association. And 2 houses down is the GSDA number 2. Now, they're basically box-shaped. Quite interesting variation in the designs and so forth, but he set the tone of what would be the building type that he was going to develop on the suburb in the initial period. So they're relatively small, boxy or rectangular, single-storied, but notably flat roofs, set on the properties so that they encourage other people to maintain their views, and fairly modest dwellings, really.
A critic would say they actually look a little bit like sandstone and concrete bunkers.
That wouldn't be very kind, but yes. Another element of Griffin that's quite important is how incredibly creative and innovative he was. So apart from creating houses which to some degree shocked others around, he was really trying, as one of the first people, to think about architecture afresh. He believed that design had to be based on fresh thinking about every problem, which meant that he didn't consider himself a member of any particular school of architecture, because he thought that was a travesty. You should never accept somebody else's tenets about how you should design. You should get on and do it yourself according to the needs of the client and the environment. And what's more, the landscape must be taken into account.
Tell me about the knitlock system.
That was one of the interesting developments. Griffin invented this idea of precasting concrete shapes which could fit together rather like a Lego set, thus creating a relatively low-cost house for the common man. But most of them tended to get problems with the technology, but it was a very, very good idea and predated all sorts of prefabrications in building. He was in many, many ways well ahead of his time.
Hello, Sue. How are you? I'm Maria.
Maria.
Lovely to meet you.
Hi.
So we're standing out the front of Fyshwick House in Castle Crag. I'm with Andrew Kirk. Andrew, when did you first see this house?
We saw one day, or rather Sue's my wife, an advertisement for this house. And I thought, let's just go and have a sticky beak. I've never been in one. And it turned out that the owner, whose name was Deans, was my French teacher. So in having a sticky beak, we got interested in buying the house. So that was in 1976. And that's a fair way back. What I would like you to do is tell me your immediate reactions from here to the house.
Compared to the other houses that we've just seen by Burley Griffin, it looks a little bit more like a castle to me. And it's two stories as opposed to the single-storied, flat-roofed concrete and sandstone ones. Did I pass?
Well, many people are polite and they say it's imposing. Others say, what is all the fuss about? People who know it's supposed to be the most celebrated of Griffin's residential buildings in Australia. And yet it doesn't look very imposing. In point of fact, what he's done is make a tunnel, sunk the tunnel and the building into the sandstone so that in going up two stories, he's not very obtrusive. So, we're now in what's called the entrance hall. This is the second largest room in the house, given over only to one thing, that's welcoming people. Nothing else happens in this room, but the most outstanding thing is the so-called forest of pillars. Mm. Now, Griffin had a client called Humes, and these are spun concrete sewage pipes.
Oh, wow.
Griffin thought, well, what a great idea. So a couple of the buildings in Sydney have them, and some in Melbourne do as well. But it's a quite distinctive room, and there's a patterning on the wall behind you where the staircase is mirrored in this room. Now, it brings up another point of Griffin. He was very interested in the impact of design on your emotions. He liked creating intriguing effects too. Almost, you could describe it as probably the most Art Deco look in any of his houses. But it's a quite an extraordinary thing.
You can also, as you walk in, you can also see a beautiful view of, oh my goodness, I could so live with that view, of Middle Harbour through an arched window.
The mystery of this, of course, is that what is that thing that you're looking through? Somebody's gone to the trouble of creating this massive structure out of solid sandstone bricks. It's 2.5 metres across by 2 metres high and about a metre thick, with a cutting in it with a domed shape to it. And that, in fact, is the back of the fireplace.
Oh.
So let's walk through here. As you come through here, the building suddenly opens up. Mm-hmm. The height goes up. Here is a very, very large room. This is Griffin's largest room in Castle Crag.
Oh, I must say, you say large room. Compared to modern houses, this really isn't a large room at all, is it?
That's right, compared to modern. But you look, there's a reinforced concrete slab ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Griffin was probably amongst the first architects to use reinforced concrete in residential buildings. And this is very new. But he's got quite a span going there so that this gives you another living deck on top with those gorgeous views.
The windows, compared to what you would have in a house of today, are reasonably small, but they frame the view beautifully. It's like looking at a painting.
Funny you should say that. The window that we're looking through was one of the first examples of a picture window, as we now call them. It is actually quite large, and actually, if you look carefully, you'll see that it still has little handles. It's designed to be pushed upwards into a specially made void in the side of the house so that it opens to a bit over halfway. But what we're looking at down there is our property merging across towards one of Griffin's reserves, and then another one rises up the escarpment further to the left of us, so that given the fact that we're so close to the city, we barely see any other buildings immediately near us, and with views across fairly wooded parts of Sydney Harbour.
So did you fall in love with the house as much as Andrew did?
It's a love-hate relationship with this house. I think it's a fabulous house, but when things go wrong, you absolutely hate it. But then when it's all going well, it's fabulous to live in. We've lived here for nearly 40 years, brought up two babies here, and it really is a wonderful place to live, except when things go wrong.
And they go wrong on a grand and very expensive scale.
Yes.
When we bought the house, Sue's mother burst into tears.
Was it completely run down, it?
We used to have, still have probably Sydney's best collection of old beach towels, and we used to have a 9-bucket house, we described it as.
Did she think you were totally mad?
Yes. I think all our friends still think we're mad. It's a lovely house, they say, but we'd never want to live here, which is the general fear.
Because of the maintenance involved?
Yes, the maintenance involved, which is less over the years since the major restoration, but you still have to keep on top of it.
Because he didn't believe in guttering and downpiping, so he brings the stormwater and sewerage lines down through the structure in the centre of the house. We are standing in the lounge room under which flowed literally the sewerage. And that was carried in terracotta pipes which broke. So Sue and I used to spend many weekends with a drain snake trying to dig out this sewerage-ridden pipe. So we had a hatch in the floor of this room. Only a month and a half ago, we lived out of buckets for how long, Sue?
6 weeks.
About 6 weeks, because a pipe burst within the house. And we had to start digging into the very walls of the house to find it.
Why wasn't he able to solve these leakage problems? And why did he keep building houses with these problems?
Not many of the modern materials, even, can waterproof something where you're trying to lay a piece of plastic or a piece of some modern material against sandstone which gets wet.
So fundamentally the problem was he chose to build with sandstone?
Fundamentally, yes.
And he liked flat roofs as well. Yes. And anybody that wanted a pitched roof, he refused to do.
When did you finish your last restoration?
In about 2000, so it needs another, not a complete glow-through like the last one was, but it needs a bit of work.
Have you ever added up how much it might have cost you over the years?
No, we haven't, because I think we'd be sick.
How many Burley Griffin houses were built in Castle Crag?
15 were built, 13 remain, is that correct, Sue? I think that's right.
He had plans for many, many more houses on the estate, very grand houses, but they never eventuated, probably due to the Depression, and people lost interest in the whole thing. So, unfortunately, we have drawings of the original plans, but they don't exist.
What of his innovations that you live with today in 2015... that is actually incredibly useful?
Well, we take for granted now things like open plan, a sunken room, and an ensuite bathroom. I mean, they're standard generally in houses today. And you have to pull yourself up a bit to think, well, this wasn't standard in 1929. We've just come to accept it now. And it doesn't seem as strange to us now. But it must have been very unusual for the Fishwicks to live here.
Do you think he would have seen Castle Crag as a disaster or as a success?
I suspect that Walter was proud of some bits of Castle Crag, but it certainly was nowhere near the ideal suburb that he had set out to build.
Andrew and Sue, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you taking me around Fishwick here at Castle Crag.
A pleasure.
Good to meet you.
It's a pleasure too. Thank you.
Andrew and Sue speaking there to Blueprints Maria Tickle. We have some gorgeous shots of Fyshwick and other Castle Crag houses from the book Visionaries in Suburbia, Griffin Houses in the Sydney Landscape. They're up on the Blueprint for Living website.